started discussing yesterday the form of burial that is now in use in Yerushalayim in Har HaMenuchos, that of the kuchen, the burial tubes, if you want to call it that, are burrowed into the stone, into the wall of the mountain. And there is, as of late, a debate regarding that method of burial. We mentioned yesterday, just a brief recap and summary to bring us to our starting point today, that the Mishnah of Basra in Perek Vav, Mishnah Ches, Daf Kuf Mebeis, speaks of, in the times of Chazal, they would bury in Kuchen. You had a burial cave, and in the walls of the cave, you had these hollowed out spaces that the body would be inserted into. As the Rambam there explains, it's a kever that surrounds the body of the deceased. However, we mentioned yesterday that Rav Moshe Sternbach in a tshuva released just last week is critical of this form of burial. And one of the reasons for his criticism is that the Rambam in Hilchos Avel, Perek Dalet, Halacha Dalet, writes that when one buries in a kuch, the Rambam says, machzirin ha'afar v'ha'avanim olav. You then put dirt on top of the body. And the way the kuchen are used today in Har HaMenuchos, there's no dirt on top of the body. There's a layer of dirt, gravel, on the bottom of the burial space under the body. They put the body in, and then because of the difficulty of putting dirt on top of the body, they simply put a bag of dirt in the opening of the burial space. They then seal it up. Over time, the bag falls apart. The dirt then falls out in part on the body. And Rav Sternbach, on the basis of the Rambam, who he says indicates that they used to cover the body, even in the kuchen, with dirt, Rav Sternbach writes that that's one reason why he objects to today's use of the kuchen, because he says there is a mitzvah to cover the mace with dirt. The pasuk says, afar atav el afar tashuv, there is a mitzvah to cover the mace with dirt, and this, he writes, is discussed in the Torah, in Yeridea, in Simin Shin Samach Beis. Now, the question with that, Rav Sternbach himself acknowledges, is forget the kuchen. How do they bury in a regular kever nowadays in Eretz Yisrael? They put the body into the grave, they put these stone or cement blocks alongside the body and one on top, and they put dirt on top of the stone that forms a box over the body. No one puts dirt on the mace himself nowadays, even in a regular kever burial in Eretz Yisrael. So Sternbach says, well, that's because the Tur in Simin Shin Samach Beis quotes Rav Natronai Gon, who was asked whether it is appropriate to put dirt on the face of the mace or not. The Tur writes, She'ela l'Rav Natronai, Ezo derech yishar l'kavur, what's the best method of burial? Is it to put a luach, some sort of board, above the body, shelo yiga b'fanav afar v'tit, so dirt should not touch the face of the mace? Or is it better to put afar on top of the mace directly? And Rav Natronai Gon writes, the Torah quotes, lahatil afar apanav yesh bizayon bedavar. It's a bizayon to put dirt directly on the mace. So he recommends putting some sort of board over the mace and dirt on top of that. And that's what they do now on a regular kavura in Eretz Yisrael. Enoch and Ami, that's true. That's a good point. That's also another good point. Right. So both are good points. Let me just address one at a time. You're correct that the mace is covered with the talus, the tachrichim. Even so, it seems the minig today, if you look at any kavur in Yerushalayim, the minig is they put these cement boards or stone blocks over the mace and they put dirt on top of that. So if Shumach writes, that's because we don't want to put offer directly on the mace. But putting offer on top of that stone block is like a mitzvah of covering the mace with offer. It's just as if you're covering the mace with offer. Whereas in the kuchen, where they don't even do that, Rav Sternbach is therefore objecting to and opposed to that form of burial. And then he cites a second concern, which we mentioned in brief yesterday, that when there's no offer on the mace, the mace is not misakel mehera, doesn't decompose as quickly. Now that concern I don't fully understand, because the traditional burial in Eretz Yisrael also there's no offer on the mace directly. So why is this form of burial in the kuchen going to be any longer of a process of decomposition than the typical burial in the regular kvarim in Eretz Yisrael where they don't put offer directly on the mace? So Rav Moshe Sternbach, though, for those two reasons. Number one, the mitzvah of kisoy ba'afar. Number two, the longer process of decomposition. He's opposed to this process of burial in the kuchen. And he writes, he concedes that bottom line, you still fulfill the mitzvah of kvura. You put the mace into the solid rock of the mountain. You've done kvura. You've just failed to fulfill the mitzvah of kisoy ba'afar, and you perhaps are contributing to a longer process of decomposition, which is going to generate more tsar hames, he writes. And therefore he says, kvur you've done, you've missed out on the other two concerns, and he actually recommends for those who are yorei v'charei l'dvar Hashem to remove such a mace who was buried in such a kuch and to rebury him in a traditional kever. So he writes, that's a good question. You're asking historically. We saw in Chazal, they put the first the body into the kuchen and they collected the bones later. Right. I don't know exactly when that shift occurred. That's a good question. You're correct. Now, I'll get to that. I'll similar point to that in just a moment. You're correct. The method of burial did change from what we saw in the Mishnah and the times of Chazal. Maybe we'll touch upon that in a moment. As I mentioned yesterday, although Rav Sternbach is opposed to the burial in the Kuchin, Rav Yitzchak Shmuel Schechter, a postseik, a dayan in Sanz Klosenberg in Eretz Yisrael, who, as I mentioned, has 46 or so volumes of Shalos and Tshuvas, remarkable literary output, has a lengthy tshuva dealing with this very same Shaila. And he writes the following. He says, if you look in the Torah, the Shulchan Aruch, in Simen Shin Samach Beis. So the Torah quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Mem Vav, that there's a mitzvah of kavura bekarka min haTorah. Kavur tikbarenu, you're supposed to bury a mace in the ground. And the Torah writes that yafel lekovro ba'aretz. It's ideal to bury the mace in the earth itself. So the Bach explains, what does that mean? Ideally, says the Bach, what the Torah is saying is, without an aron, the way they do it in Eretz Yisrael, without an aron, without a coffin, that's the ideal. Why? So the Bach explains, interestingly, as follows. We want, ideally, the guf, the body of the mace, to touch the earth. Why? So he writes, in Eretz Yisrael, the Pasuk says, v'chiper admaso amo, the earth of Eretz Yisrael provides atonement for the mace. Even in Chutz La'aretz, says the Bach, the Pasuk, ki afar ata vel afar tashuv, again, the idea of direct contact between the mace and the afar. So ideally, says the Torah, the Bach explains, the mace should be in the ground itself without an aron. The Nosei Kelim, the Shulchan Aruch, ask, the Shach quotes the Levush, what do you mean? Nowadays, he writes, this is a few centuries ago already, we put mesim in aronos, we put mesim into coffins. What happened to the aretz, to the earth, that the Torah speaks of as being ideally that which should, the mace should be in contact with directly? So the Shach in Yerdesh and Samach Beis writes, either the pshat is we put the cheres, as you mentioned, on the mouth and eyes of the mace, that as well. He doesn't mention that. He mentions the charasis al piv ve'enav. He just mentions that minug, that the cheres on the mouth and the eyes, that's like the afar touching the mace. That's one pshat the Shach quotes. And secondly, he writes, even if there's an aron, but as long as there are holes in the aron, that also allows enough of a connection between the eretz and the mace. So writes the Shach. Without getting into the civil law, I understand that in outside of Eretz Yisrael, they required, you know, civil. Right, I understand. Yeah, I'm just discussing the halacha for a moment first. Furthermore, Furthermore, the Bach writes that even when the Tor quotes Rav Nachman Goin about not putting afar on the mace directly, the Bach there writes that the Tor himself says, quoting Rav Nachman Goin, it maybe depends on whether the weather, the climate is a very dry climate, in which case you don't need to put afar on the mace directly, whereas if the climate is a very moist and humid climate, then maybe you do need to put afar on the mace directly. The bottom line, however, you see from the Nosa Kalim here, says Yitzchak Shmuel Shechter, is that lav dafka, that there always has to be afar on the mace directly. That you see pretty clearly. You can have a mace in an aron with holes on the side of the aron according to the Shach. You can have a mace in a very dry climate, which the Torah himself speaks of, where there's no afar on the mace directly. So he says, the fact that the mace in this kuchen doesn't have afar on him directly, that doesn't necessarily mean that you have violated any halacha, as we see from the Shach and from the Levush that we just quoted, that even in an aron with holes in it, that's good enough. Even though there's no afar on the mace directly. Furthermore, he says, back in the times of Chazal, the Braisa and Avel Rabasi, Mesachas Machas writes that they would actually go back in to check on the mace after 3 days. Why? Maybe he made a mistake. Maybe he had passed out, had fainted. You had misjudged what his status was. Maybe you put him in the barrel cave. He was still really alive. Go back 3 days later, the Braisa says, Mesachas Avel Rabasi, and check on his state after 3 days. How are you checking after 3 days? Obviously, he's not covered in earth. Obviously, in the barrel caves of old, in the kuchen of old, the mace was still perfectly visible after 3 days. And so, Rav Yitzchak Shmuel Shechter writes, I'm sorry? Oh, he says that, yeah, he says, l'chor, they put the earth on much later, right? And Echanami. So he writes, he thinks that it's pretty clear from the sources quoted that lav dafka, there was a chiv to put the afar on the mace right away. Certainly not, right? They would wait, it seems, for a certain period of time. And he says, he thinks, therefore, the practice in use in Harmenuchas today, in this kuchen, to put the mace in the kuch, on the gravel or on the afar below him, and no afar on top. And yet after the passage of some time, that bag, that sack of earth they put in the opening of the kuch will fall apart, and some afar will get on the mace as a result of the sack or the bag collapsing or deteriorating. He says, well, then that's no different than what they did once upon a time in Chazal's time. They put the mace in the kuch, and maybe after a long passage of time, they would maybe collect the atzamos and put afar on top, or maybe they didn't put afar on top api ikar din at all, but there's no, he says, chiyuv to put afar on right away. The fact that there's a kavur and a kuch is sufficient. It's in the stone of the mountain that's considered bakarka, that's considered valid kavur, he argues. And he says, and the added benefit, if you want to call it that, of the afar being on the mace, that you fulfill with the passage of time when the bag falls apart and some afar then falls on top of the mace afterwards. So that is the argument of Yitzchak Shmuel Shechter in his Sefer Tshuvas Yashiv Yitzchak. That was written before the Tshuva of Sternbach, but certainly a convincing argument nonetheless that the kavura in the kuchen, he writes, is halachically valid as a form of kavura.